This is our Big Question Debate, where every Wednesday at this time we pick a big issue facing the state or nation and two guests to debate it with you and for you. And by far the biggest issue facing the state this week and for the next several weeks, the kickoff of the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 16th. And we have some big news to share with you related to the recall effort as well. You may have just heard it in Wisconsin Public Radio News. The latest results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, which found a majority of poll respondents, 58%, want to see Governor Walker recalled if the recall election were to be held today. So what do we think of this? We will welcome in our big question debaters who will respond to the poll results, and both will talk about why Governor Walker should or should not be recalled. But first, we welcome in our survey analyst, Wendy Scattergood. Wendy is an assistant professor of political science and analyst at the St. Norbert College Survey Center. Good morning once again, Wendy.
Good morning.
So we say 58% of us would vote to remove Governor Walker from office.
Right, and that's up 11% since we asked this question in the spring, last April.
Any idea why that is?
Well, some of the things we looked at, it's very highly related to Walker's approval rating. So we find almost exactly the same number of people that disapprove of the job wanting to remove him and vice versa for keeping an approval. The most interesting part of that was, well, what's the change and who's the change? We find among party identification is really the most salient factor here. It's not a surprise that 92% of Democrats said that they thought he should be removed. But independents, that key middle, 52% think that he should be removed. But among Democrats, it's 24%.
Among Republicans?
Yeah, which is pretty high. And so when we compare that with last spring, the Republicans were 7% to remove, and now they're 24%. We do find among independents and Democrats a little bit higher percentages now than we did before, but that's really a big difference, the 7% to 24% among the Republicans. So I dug a little deeper to try to figure out who are these people. And so this brings up kind of one of the issues about this particular survey that's new for us, and that is we did a small sample of cell phone users this time. And so what I looked at was, who are the Republicans who vote to, who think the governor should be removed? And of those, about half those folks were our cell phone people. And among those of the cell phone users, all of them are cell phone only. So that's kind of a new element to the survey than what we've had before. But, of course, that's keeping up with the norms of other surveys at this point. And what we're finding among those folks is that they tend to be younger. They do self-identify as Republicans, but they're extremely skeptical. And it's not really just, I don't know that this is so much about Walker himself and as affect about government. And one of the things that Dave Wege did at the Strategic Research Institute is a national study on younger people, on how they look at their own financial situation and trust in government and those kinds of things, and they are skeptical. So that's an element that's coming into this picture. Another thing to kind of bear in mind with those folks is a lot of them, just about half, 49%, said that they didn't vote in the governor's race last year.
Oh, and we don't know if they're going to vote this time.
Exactly. They say they're going to, but that's an easy thing to say right now. And the other, so that's a really interesting kind of part of it. And the other part is that, you know, there's no specific challenger right now. It's just sort of this question out there in the air. And that's, you know, we would expect that, you know, if they do gather enough signatures and that candidates actually start to come out from the other side that are going to run, you know, that may also change things.
Yeah. You mentioned that 52% of the independents said yes to recall. Mm-hmm. Did the others say no, or are there a lot of undecided still?
Well, 37% of independents said that they thought he should stay in there. So that's 89%. So that, yeah, there are some unsure there.
Yeah. And once again, we did our sample in terms of demographics had slightly more Democrats in it.
Yes, we had 38% Democrats, 33% Republicans, and 20% independent, and that's really the norm for the survey that we've been doing twice a year since I've been collecting this data since fall of 2001.
Yeah, how do we explain, Wendy, and we're not here to go into debating methodology of polls, but how do we explain that our poll shows 58% would vote to remove Governor Walker from office when I believe there were two recent polls that had it more 50-50?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and so one of the things that I did was let's just look at the landline population and is it significantly different? And in the landline only population came out, it's still at 56% that vote think that he should be removed. So it's still higher than some of those other polls. The question is, did they do likely voters? What kind of sample did they pull from?
Mm-hmm.
As always, ours is and continues to be, random of active landline phones and then a sample of 80 cell phones. And again, those are random active phones. And again, one of the reasons I think why, we're in the field for a long time is that we call people back. We don't just keep going on to the next person and calling people who happen to be home when we're calling. And so I think, we tend to be pretty accurate when it comes to predicting election outcomes.
Yeah, and do we, we were in the field of, can we surmise that maybe the Ohio election results where Ohio rejected their collective bargaining law, might that have influenced our outcome?
Well, that came at the very kind of the latter part of when mm-hmm. we were in the field. Certainly it was in the news the whole time that we were in the field. So one thing that I did also was to look at some of the later respondents and is there a significant difference between some of those later folks and the earlier ones? And there wasn't, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look like that was a huge factor.
Well, Governor Walker has... should take this seriously, is the message from this poll?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely true. I mean, you should look at that with regard to the approval ratings as well. But, people, as we'll talk about later this week, looking at the biggest problems, I mean, there are issues, policy issues that need to be dealt with, and that's really where the focus should be.
We will talk to you again tomorrow and the next day.
Thank you.
We are releasing the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll today, tomorrow, and Friday. And this hour, we are focusing in on the results when it comes to whether or not Wisconsin wants to recall Governor Scott Walker. As we just heard, 58% of those we asked said yes, they would. If the recall election were to be held today, they would vote to remove him from office. 58%. 38% said they would keep him in office, and 4% were not sure. We will welcome in two guests to debate the recall of Governor Scott Walker, and we'll welcome your input too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. By the way, we have posted the results on our website, wpr.org, and there is a link to the results on Facebook as well. It's going to be a cloudy day in northern Wisconsin with scattered snow showers in the far northwest part of the state. It'll be mostly sunny in the south with highs mainly in the 30s. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are going to talk about whether or not we think Governor Walker should be recalled or not with our big question debaters for the rest of this hour, and we want to hear from you too. What do you say? Recall yes or recall no, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome our guests. Scott Ross is here. He is executive director of One Wisconsin Now. He says recall yes.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. And Brian Huffman is also with us, professor of management at UW River Falls, faculty advisor for the UW River Falls College Republicans. And Brian Huffman says no to recall. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, let me ask you first. I don't want to spend the whole hour debating poll results and poll methodology. We want to talk about the reasons why a recall is justified or not during this big question debate. But I do want your reaction, Scott Ross, first, to the result that 58% of our poll respondents said they would vote to remove Scott Walker from office if the recall election were held today.
Well, I think that that bears what's going on the streets, which is that there are thousands and thousands of people all around Wisconsin who are mobilized and collecting signatures to recall the governor because he has failed Wisconsin, he has deceived Wisconsin, and his ways are impeding job creation here in the state of Wisconsin, which is what he promised to do when he got into office.
Yeah. And Brian Huffman, are you surprised at all by 58%?
Yeah, I am surprised, actually. As far as the jobs are concerned, most of the jobs that were created in the United States in June were created in this state. So I'm not sure what Scott is talking about there. And it looks like the union wants to put your new prep school out of business.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Brian. What school do they want to put out of business?
Well, the Madison Prep School, one of the things that they are having trouble with now is a $10.4 million more that they're going to have to come up with because of union labor. Salaries going from estimated $50,900 per employee to over
$80,000. Yeah, and how does that relate to the recall?
That relates to the job comment that Scott just made.
I see. All right, so well, let's talk a little bit about the issues involved in the recall. Scott, you want to recall Governor Walker because he hasn't created enough jobs?
Well, I think there are a whole host of reasons. Again, Governor Walker has proven one thing about his leadership, and that is that he is in the pocket of corporate America. He has handed out over $2.3 billion in tax breaks to corporations and the wealthy. At the same time, he has gutted public education by $1.6 billion. He has now put into place a policy that will cut 65,000 people, including 29,000 children, off of health care. He has raised tuition at the University of Wisconsin by $107 million, creating $426 million of new student loan debt, and that's a conservative estimate. And he has gutted the technical college system by 30%, all at the same time raising taxes on 70,000 seniors and members of the working poor. And this is a failed way. And it's not creating jobs. We have 14,000 more people who have filed for unemployment benefits than had been filing at the beginning of the year. Our unemployment rate has gone up nearly 0.5% since Governor Walker has been elected, unlike other states in the upper Midwest. And I think the most important reason, and I think this is the reason you're seeing in this poll, not just the 58% number, but that 52% of independents, because people didn't realize that we didn't have to go through this trauma of tearing our state apart in order to get here.
All right. Brian Huffman, I know that Scott mentioned a lot of different facts and figures there, but your response as to why Governor Walker does not deserve to be recalled.
Well, I think you only have to look at the health of the state. If you look at the bond ratings, for instance, Moody's is up. It's AA2 now. It was AA3. Fitch went from AA- to AA. In other words, the people that lend the state money are beginning to think this is getting to be a healthy state. We're going to put more money in it. And Fitch did make note of the progress made in the governor's proposal. And as for the cuts in education, where else is the money going to come from? Education is over 37% of the state budget.
Well, let's just zero in on that point. Where else would the cuts come from, Scott Ross? We had a huge deficit.
We handed out over $2.3 billion in new tax breaks to corporations with less accountability than can be imagined. I mean, it's basically like handing over the money, saying, well, if you create jobs, great. If you don't, we're still going to give you your tax breaks. I mean, that's what the choice that Governor Walker made. Governor Walker made the choice. He could choose between the public schools of Wisconsin and the corporations that financed his campaign, including, you know, the $5 million that the Republican Governors Association spent to get him elected.
Brian Hoffman, if we were in such debt, why give those tax breaks to corporations?
Well, first of all, giving a tax break isn't the same as giving money. Not taking isn't giving. And second of all, companies create what jobs, which is exactly what we're looking for. I mean, I'm wondering where the jobs are supposed to come from. And as far as the corporations donating or giving money to Walker, the biggest donors in the recall election, last recall election, were the unions, of course. And the Democratic Party plus unions spent $23.4 million. They outspent the Democrats.
First of all, that's not true, and you can't document the amount of money because unlike the more progressive side with We Are Wisconsin and the Democratic Party, all of their money was disclosed. The conservative side, through Americans Prosperity, the school choice privatization cartel, all of their money wasn't disclosed. So we will never know how much Club for Growth, Americans Prosperity, American Federation for Children, we'll never know how much they spent. So your supposition that the unions spent more money than the conservative corporations is just on its face false and disingenuous, Professor.
Do you want to respond, Professor Hoffman?
I'll give you a source. You were looking for a source. I'll give you the Huffington Post. November 14th, I'm sorry, September 20, 2011. And their source was the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
I understand that, but the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign cannot track the amount of mail that was put in people's mailboxes, the financing of boots on the ground from the conservative side. On the progressive side, they can, again, because We Are Wisconsin and the Democratic Party disclosed every dime of spending and contributions, unlike, again, your allies on the right.
Yeah. I see you're saying that that those third-party groups did not have to, that American for Prosperity didn't have to disclose.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we have a lot. I'm sorry, did you want a final comment on this, Brian Hoffman?
Just one comment. The outside contributions to the Democrats were $18.6 million versus $15.9 million outside for Republicans. I'm talking about outside the state. But more money came in from outside of the state for the Democrats than for the Republicans.
You cannot. I mean, I'm sorry, Professor, but you have to be, like, let's be honest with our listeners. You cannot track how much outside money was on the conservative side because it was not disclosed.
Let's.
I just gave you the number and gave you the source.
Brian Hoffman, I mean, why is this so important to the question as to whether Governor Walker deserves to be recalled or not?
Well, actually, I really don't think it's all that important. I think the thing that's important is the performance of the state. Is the state getting healthier or is it getting sicker? And every time we talk about things like debt in the state and that sort of thing, we really don't look at things like unfunded liabilities in retirement funds, that sort of thing, like $81 billion that's out there. We really are on a path to destruction. Even now, we're only slightly turning back from it.
I'm not sure I understand that one, Professor, because the state pension fund is 100% fully funded and, in fact, cited by national organizations as being one of the few states that actually fully has put in place the system to fully fund its pension. So I'm not sure exactly the unfunded liabilities that you're talking about when alluding to government employees.
You can go to the Sunshine Review for this. The total state debt is approximately $81 billion. That's official debt, pension, other post-employment benefits, liabilities, unemployment trust fund loans, budget gap, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all of that stuff. And the people that audit us do not make any comments on that when it comes to their statements.
Gotcha. Just quick question. So why is the unemployment rate higher, almost 0.5% higher than when Governor Walker took office after 11 months of getting everything he wanted, including, again, all of those tax breaks for corporations and the wealthy? So can you explain why it's not working?
Okay, so what we have to do is look at this state versus a state that doesn't have a Republican government following these policies. And again, as I pointed out, say June of this last year, we created, most of the jobs were created in the entire country.
But that was
so,
June.
Yes, we're down on labor. We're down on labor. Everyone's down on labor, percent-wise. But our position is improving.
How is our unemployment rate being higher improving when states all across the country are seeing a reduction in the unemployment rate and less people on unemployment, unlike Wisconsin, again, that has 14,000 more people applying for unemployment last month than did at the beginning of the year?
Our rate of loss is slower than the average. And we, again, I'm going to go back to June on that. There was something like 18,000 jobs created in the entire U.S. economy in June. 9,500 of those were created in this state alone.
But Scott Rost, this is interesting to talk about, but the effort to recall Governor Walker was talked about in the spring. This was not it was not based on the unemployment rate and that he wasn't creating jobs. That's not the main reason why you support a recall of Governor Walker.
There are a whole host of reasons why people across Wisconsin are supporting a recall of Governor Walker. And the reason that a lot of this caught fire in the spring was because Governor Walker never campaigned on the fact that the first thing he did when he came into office was, one, first, going to take away the rights of people to hold corporations accountable, and then, second, that he was going to summarily end the collective bargaining rights of 175,000 working Wisconsinites who had enjoyed those rights for 70 years.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we have many callers who want to get in on this big question on whether or not we want to recall Governor Scott Walker or not. Scott Ross is with us, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, and Brian Hoffman is with us, Professor of Management at UW River Falls. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If the recall election were held today, would you vote to remove Governor Walker from office, or would you vote for him to stay in office? We asked that question in the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. And it is today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Wednesday, November the 16th. We have two guests from different political perspectives debating this question with us this hour, and we're welcoming your input, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our poll results are linked to Facebook, and our poll results are also on our website, wpr.org. The headline, 58% of the people we surveyed said they would vote to remove Governor Walker from office if the recall election were held today. 38% said they would want Governor Walker to stay in office. Our two big question debaters in favor of a recall, Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, against a recall, Brian Hoffman, Professor of Management at UW River Falls, Faculty Advisor of the UW River Falls College Republicans. We have many callers, so let's take calls. And Chris in Waupun joins us first. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I got to tell you, I'm one of the Republicans that has changed his mind on this issue and now is in favor of removing Governor Walker.
Wow.
I am a diehard conservative, and I'll tell you what. Governor Walker lied to my face at the Oshkosh Tea Party rally, and Rebecca Clefish lied to my face when she came and addressed college Republicans in Oshkosh. And I, as a conservative, demand integrity from my elected officials, and I will not support somebody that favors the acquisition of power over the respect of the legislative process and the law. And
tell
that
us,
is the bottom line.
Tell us, Chris, what did they lie to you about?
I specifically asked both Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish exactly what they had in store for state employees. And they said the only thing that they were going to ask of state employees was to contribute more for health care and contribute more to retirement. And specifically with the Department of Corrections, collective bargaining is not some overblown privilege. It is a safety aspect, And as a correctional officer, I don't want to be taken hostage and raped in the back of a cell hall because Governor Walker has taken away the tools that we as officers need to get the safety items that we need to do our jobs.
So you are going to, if there is a recall election, you're going to vote to recall Governor Walker?
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, I've gone from being chairman of a college Republican chapter to circulating recall petitions.
Thank you for calling, Chris. And Brian Hoffman, your response to that story.
Well, I sympathize with him, but I will tell you that you can't always say what you're going to be doing in office before you get in. Good example in point, Governor Brown in California. Certainly, he didn't run on the position that he was going to be requiring a raise in retirement age and a significant raise. It's too, I'm talking about from like 55 to 67 for new employees, and also that they'd have to pay more for their retirement and their health care. Those things come up, and unfortunately, you got to go where the money is. And if the budget, most of the budget, is in health care and human relations and resources, that's where you got to go.
They didn't know Scott Ross.
No, I think Professor Hoffman makes a great point. You can't say what you're going to do in office if what you're going to do in office will keep you from being elected, which is what Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clay Fish did. I mean, they did not talk about the fact they were going to end collective bargaining rights. They did not. I mean, when they were asked about the idea, when it was raised that they were going to be cutting kids off of Badger Care, they vehemently denied it. And it turns out 29,000 children are going to lose their health care because of what Governor Walker did. And we did not have to go down this route. And I think that's why you're seeing, again, in this poll, not just, you know, liberals, but independents are saying this is not our Wisconsin. Our Wisconsin does not cut 65,000 people off of health care so that we can enrich out-of-state corporations and allow banks to write off their losses pre-2009, which is exactly what's in the governor's budget bill.
Back to the collective bargaining, though, Scott. Professor Hoffman's saying that Governor Walker didn't realize how bad it was until he got into office, didn't realize he had to do that, maybe didn't have plans to do that.
Yeah, well, I think we remember that after Governor Walker did what he did, 6 days after that, the union said, we'll give you whatever you want in terms of finances. If you need us to come in, we serve the people of Wisconsin. If you need us to serve to the extra level of saying we're going to cut our pay by 8% in order to balance this budget, if you say we're in a crisis, we're with you. Let's sit down at the table. Let's do it. Let's hammer out an agreement. Let's move Wisconsin forward together. And what did Governor Walker do? He closed the Capitol. He sicked the troops onto the troopers onto the senators allegedly, called out the National Guard and tore Wisconsin apart. And we didn't have to do this. We didn't have to do this. It's not the Wisconsin way, Professor.
Yeah, and Brian Hoffman, the union busting, our caller said, was a part of just a power play to give Republicans power.
Yeah, the unions did fold on all those issues, as he said, after he started talking about them being decertified. And as far as collection bargaining rights, how about collective bargaining rights? How about the right not to be represented? I'm a state employee. I don't want any part of a union, but I didn't have a choice. I was getting sucked into one. One had been voted in on campus. I would have been paying my dues. The fact of the matter is, the only thing the union didn't back down on was the existence of the union itself, mandatory union membership dues. They don't care about jobs. They don't care about the poor and minorities. They're perfectly willing to let this Wisconsin prep school, which is exactly aimed toward low-income minority students, grades 6 through 12, exactly allow that school to go straight to hell in a handbasket because the teachers have to make 80 grand instead of 51.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy over that proposed school.
Yeah, it's about privatization, Professor. Give me a break.
Jean in Marathon County is with us next. Hello, Jean.
Good morning. I am for not Governor Walker to stop him from running our state. I've been listening in and to both men, and I'm very ashamed of that one man that supports it to the point where he thinks the governor has not done a good job. The governor has done what he has been voted in to do. I, before this, did not realize what privileges all the teachers and their associates had, and the dollar amounts they made. I cannot believe that the school unions now have united with the Wisconsin unions to kind of declare war on Governor Walker.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Jean, when you said the governor was is doing what he was voted in to do, what do you mean?
He was voted in to clean up Wisconsin, to get us in balance. That's why I voted for him, and I'll vote for him again, because this state is such a mess from everybody that ran it before. I did not realize how much money teachers made. I always thought, oh, the poor teachers, they got to live on that little salary. After this, it opened my eyes up to how much privileges they had, what dollar amounts they earned in a nine-month period. I was shocked. I always felt sorry for them. Now I think they make more than most of us in Wisconsin, and they have privileges that other workers do not have.
Yeah, I don't want to go into all the details of the privileges that she thinks teachers have, but Scott Ross, Governor Walker is doing what he was elected to do, and we needed, you know, he needed to clean up this state.
I completely disagree with that. Made me think of something, actually. She made me think of the fact that, you know, in talking about teachers, my mom was a teacher for 35 years, not in Wisconsin, but she was a, you know, member of the union, school teacher. And she got cancer and had early detection and is alive this day because she had access to affordable health care. And so when I think about the fact that, you know, our lieutenant governor went through similar problems and healthcare challenges and was able to get the early detection and treatment, and today thankfully is alive because she had access to healthcare because her husband was a state representative from Oconomowoc, and her temerity in joining Governor Walker in calling for an end to 65,000 people having healthcare, people who will die because they don't get access to affordable treatment and preventative care and early detection like she enjoyed on the taxpayer dime, I am absolutely disgusted. And I think that again shows that Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clefish think there should be two classes in Wisconsin, the haves and the rest of us. And the haves are the ones that make corporate contributions and support their agenda. And the rest of us, well, we're just the dregs who should, you know, plow the streets, teach the kids, serve the hash, and shut up. But we're not going to, and that's why the thousands of people across Wisconsin are mobilizing in the streets as we speak, signing recall petitions, circulating those petitions, and why Governor Walker will be recalled later in 2012.
Let me ask you just briefly, though, Jean thinks that teachers had it really good. She didn't realize that, and maybe those people that, you know, plow the streets and serve the hash on the lunch line had too generous of benefits and were paid too much when people like Jean weren't getting those that pay and benefit.
Sure. Two things. One, she is absolutely mistaken about teachers being overpaid in the state of Wisconsin. And second of all, you know, why? I mean, this is the corporations trying to pull everyone down to a certain level rather than try and raise everybody up. I mean, when we had a stronger union movement in America and more union jobs, our standard of living, our wages were higher. We have not had wages have remained stagnant since 1970, while corporations have increased their profits a gazillionfold. I think that's actually a technical number, gazillionfold.
I use it a lot.
But that's what we're seeing. I mean, it is a choice between corporations and people, and we choose people. I choose people.
Brian Huffman, your response to Jean and her call.
Well, I choose people, too, and the people are getting ripped off by an ever-growing state bureaucracy. And the guy that called earlier was suspicious of the government. Then why feed the government? Why make it bigger? We, in 2009, were one of the top 10 states with budget problems. We're the fourth most indebted state per capita to the unemployment reserve in the federal government. And I'm talking Governor Doyle's tenure now. 5 years of negative balances in the general fund. All that is going to come out of the people's pocket, the people that don't work for the state. But even the people that work for the state, are they really going to get their pension? Are they really going to get their health care when retirement? I don't think so. And I'm more concerned about that than I am about adding a pittance more to what I'm paying. I did not lose my health care. I did not lose my retirement. I'm just required now to pay a bit more toward it and less than what most of the people that support me are paying toward theirs.
No response, Scott?
I, I mean, the entire system that the professor is opining regarding is the idea that government can only exist to hand out tax breaks, that it can't exist to educate our kids, it can't exist to provide access to affordable care, it can't provide the regulatory power to make sure that our food is fit to eat, our air is fit to breathe, and our water is fit to drink. What the professor is advocating for is the Walker way, which is a corporate takeover of government, taking our money and giving it to Walker's friends. That is a system that needs to be rejected, because what we need to do is we need to have a strong and vibrant system which everybody's work is rewarded, and that regulation is not in play, you know, that one side isn't getting a better deal than the other side. And right now, the imbalance is there. Governor Walker's handed over the keys to the Treasury, to the corporations, and he has told the working people, you know, to go pound salt. And that is not the Wisconsin way. We would believe in a fair and equitable system where people come together, solve problems, and come up with solutions to move the state forward. Governor Walker slammed the door on that when he just unilaterally cut off the rights of 175,000 working Wisconsinites, slashed education by $1.6 billion, raised tuition on Wisconsin students, cut technical college funding, and of course cut 65,000 people, including 29,000 children, off of Badger Care benefits.
Yeah, Brian Hoffman, last word on this call.
Well, I just think it's entirely ridiculous. The government takeover by, or government being taken over by corporations. If you want to see the corporations in bed with the government, you look at the Obama administration, the bailout of GM, the bailout of all these banks and whatnot. Big business, yeah, okay, it's supported by the government. They lobby, okay? That's where big business is. I'm talking about the little people, the small jobs, those sorts of people, and it's the government plus the unions, plus if you want to add big business in there, go right ahead, all against the taxpayer, all against the people that are not working for the state. And the fact that we have to pay a smidgen more of our money for retirement and health care and still pay less as a percentage than most of the people in the state, and the fact that, again, the teacher average teacher salary for this new prep school, and I'm talking average now, $80,223, and this is a whatever it is, K through 8, so 6 through 12, rather. It's obscene.
Well, Brian Hoffman is a professor of management at UW River Falls, faculty advisor for the UW River Falls College Republicans, and Scott Ross is the executive director of One Wisconsin Now. They are our two guests during this edition of The Big Question. And the big question is, should Governor Walker be recalled or not? Why or why not? Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy in the north with light snow expected in the far northwest. Partly cloudy in the southern part of the state. It's going to be on the cool side today with highs in the 30s. There's also a wind advisory posted for Door County until 9 o'clock this morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Tomorrow, we will continue releasing results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. In our 6 o'clock hour, we'll talk about concealed carry, the concealed carry law. And in our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the economy and whether we think the economy is turning around or not. And right now, we are talking about whether we want to recall Governor Walker or not. And our poll says 58% of Wisconsin residents would vote to remove him from office if that election, recall election, were to be held today. Cindy in Burlington, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
That first caller from Oshkosh, I am totally in agreement with him. And besides the decisiveness and the divisiveness of the state, I mean, what are we teaching our children when we're telling our children not to be bullies when you got this going on? You know, and then you got Scott Fitzgerald saying, yeah, we're going to throw fake Democrats in here. And that's just going to cost taxpayers more money. And it's just like, it's the bullying that's going on. That's why I want the recall to go on. This is not the way to work things out. This is not the way to talk. And I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I am a very independent. I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm very liberal when it comes to social issues. And this is crazy. So that's why I believe in the recall.
Thank you very much for the call, Cindy. I guess Brian Hoffman, is Governor Walker and the GOP legislature forcing policies on Wisconsin, bullying?
Well, they held both houses of, in the state house and the governorship, and so anytime you do something, it can be characterized that way. Certainly, Obamacare could be characterized that way. Obama controlled both the House and the Senate when it happened. So you could call it bullying, I suppose, if you pass through what you think is good legislation. But they knew it was going to be controversial, and that makes them statesmen, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Scott, they have control, and they can do this.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think the fraud of the Walker administration can be best summed up in what they just finished doing, which was this quote-unquote special session, which was nothing more than corporate handouts and ending and trying to end responsible age-appropriate sex education in schools. I mean, a bevy of social issues. I mean, that's their job creation. I think, you know, the thing is that this has continued. I mean, it wasn't just that they did, you know, that they ended collective bargaining unilaterally at the beginning of the year. It's that the corruption, the fraud, the disinformation, the lies, the deceit, and the failed policies have continued throughout these 11 months, many of which we are noting at the Twitter tag Occupy Walker, if you want to check that out, Professor, and let me know some of those things you think are incorrect.
Wait, Ray on Facebook writes, Wisconsin is divided because liberals will not accept the results of the last election. I know liberals say recalls are constitutional, but they have been costly to taxpayers and are a bad precedent. Meanwhile, our state is digging out of a hole that several governors have dug us into. You are not accepting the results of the last election, Scott Ross, and you should just wait until 2014.
Well, I think if your Facebook poster, you know, has a problem with the cost of recall, she should talk to Senator Fitzgerald and Governor Walker, who cost us $400,000 running fake recall candidates across the state, or running fake, quote-unquote, Democrats to try and muck up the election and distort the legislative process, ... photo ID.
Brian Hoffman, do you have a response?
photo IDs, I'm not sure what the objection there is. I think if you want to let anyone vote who happens along, then you're probably against photo IDs. But we're in exactly the same position now as Greece was in with their situation. We don't print our money. Greece doesn't print their money. And as a result, we've got to cut stuff. And when we cut stuff, people get angry. Everything you cut is something that somebody wanted. And only states people do the cutting. And we're lucky when they come along because they don't come along that often. And the reason they don't come along that often is because they feel the kind of heat that Governor Walker is feeling right now. So kudos to him.
We have less than a minute to go. Brian Hoffman first. Are you optimistic that Governor Walker will survive a recall attempt?
Well, yeah, I still am, despite the poll. Of course, the poll is against a generic candidate, and generic candidates don't run. So it's either Kathleen Falk or Milan Mitchell right now. And again, this is during a presidential election year where a lot of the money is going to be funneled away from the unions to national elections as opposed to a local election. So this is going to be a people's election as opposed to a union election.
Let me give the last 30 seconds to Scott Ross. Are you optimistic that Governor Walker will be recalled?
It will be a hard fight. It will be a long fight. But I know and have faith in the people of Wisconsin that they will do the right thing and they will remove this man from office so that we can start healing Wisconsin again, get back on the right track, provide for our people, our children, our seniors, and again, move this state forward.
Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now. Brian Hoffman, Professor of Management at UW-River Falls, Faculty Advisor to the UW-River Falls College Republicans, our two big question debaters. You can continue voting in our online poll on this question, by the way. It's on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on WPR.org/Joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.